الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. أياما معدودات. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Again, just a little enlightenment with regard to difficult conditions, hard conditions people go through, the reasons for it behind, which will make it much more easier for us. And these difficult and hard conditions everyone faces. And for us as ordinary people, and we must always regard ourselves just as the ordinary, that it is generally مَا صَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. On account of our gunas, this conditions have come. That is the safest route. In everything a person takes it, it's my gunas that these difficult, hard conditions have come on me. But however, when we see with other people, and especially with the righteous and the pious, the ulama, the mashayikh, they also go through difficult and hard conditions. Then we should look at that in a different light. And one aspect of the other few aspects that we were explaining was that, and this happens to even our mashayikh, our great, great ulama, towards the end of their lives, these conditions that they feel that we are just absolutely useless. Not only feel, they realize it like that. And when Allah Ta'ala opens the gunas of a person, and then actually he sees his gunas already, like it comes in the Quran Sharif on the day of Qiyamah, and this will happen for everyone. وَبَدَى لَهُمْ مَا لَمْ يَكُونُوا يَحْتَسِبُونَ. That things will open up for them, things which they did not even think about. Many times in this world, if a person is conscious of himself, many times we think that we are worthy of praise. But when we find out, it's all false. That what we thought we did good, it was filled with false also. So much of wrong there was in there. So anyway, so these difficult conditions which come on the righteous and the pious, and Allah wanted to, this for the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Allah ta'ala made the Sahaba the greatest means to teach the Ummah those things which even through Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam was above that. Allah could not let him do certain things, but he let the Sahaba do it so that we learn a lesson. Nabi was the Nabi of Allah, every Nabi of Allah, and Allah kept them completely ma'asoom. But Allah let certain things happen through the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, so that the whole Ummah till Qiyamah can gain lessons. So when Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, one aspect for the really righteous and pious, Allah wants to raise the positions even higher and give them those gifts which they also cannot imagine, and they cannot think of it from any point of view. Then in one aspect is Allah brings these difficult and hard conditions. And when these conditions come upon them, and they feel and they realize now that we are useless, we've got nobody to turn to, there is no one, and they feel completely, they are down and out, they are like rejected, they are dejected, they are abased. When that condition comes and it stays for a while, then Allah raises them to those conditions which they could not also imagine. Like, it will become easy to understand. We see that in the battle of Badr, when the Sahaba were very ill-equipped, they had no real weapons, they were so small in number, more or less 1 to 3, they were with the enemies. Enemies who came fully prepared for the battle. They had everything, and the Sahaba did not go out, radiyallahu anhum, for a battle. They were very ill-equipped. They were very small in number. So Allah says with regard to that, وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّةٌ. You are very meek. You are very humble. You didn't have your armor also. So So you couldn't thrust your own arm also. But what happened in that condition when you were down and out like that? لَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ Allah's help came to you. So when a person is in that condition, so that is what Allah wants from a person. He must not look that I did so much ibadat, I have done so much good, I have got this position, I have got so much knowledge. But when he becomes completely meek and humble, and if a person on his own, when a person who has to put off the alarm clock, who was sleeping, a person who was awake, before time he puts it off, I'm awake now. I don't need a wake-up call. I don't need the alarm. So Allah's alarm comes to those who need it. So the Sahaba in the battle of Badr, they were that meek and humble. And what help of Allah Ta'ala came? That battle, the battle of Badr physically, outwardly changed the course of the history of the world till Qiyamah. And how the whole thing changed at that time. But we see the same Sahaba Ikiram radiallahu ta'ala anhum again. Later, this was the first battle, and perhaps the last, or amongst the last battles, was the battle of Hunain. Allah Ta'ala says with regard to the battle of Hunain, وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنِ إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ When your huge numbers, they brought this conceit that we got numbers, and your trust went on your numbers. There you had nothing to trust. You were azilla. And yeah, ajabatkum kasarotukum. Your huge numbers made you feel that we never lost a battle when we were in very difficult conditions. This battle we will never lose. And then it changed completely. Is ajabatkum kasarotukum falam tughni ankum min Allahi shay'a. All your numbers and that could not help you at all. So when a person, he feels like this, my knowledge, my piety, my righteousness, my everyone praising me, I'm very good, I'm that, then Allah Ta'ala brings those conditions, and this Allah brings for his righteous servant, to take away, and by this means, that now if this heart condition, that Allah scrapes out from the heart, all that no more again in the future, will you ever think of this of yours. That I'm somebody, I've done this. And then really, what we are supposed to make our muraqabah, that hal mein tamam muslimano mein Abdul Hamid to sabse better hai, it won't be just words. Now the reality will come in a person. Now we'll see, Allah brought those conditions, and he will realize, I'm the worst in the ummah. There is nobody as bad as me. Then Allah Ta'ala after that, raises a person. So these conditions will come. So whenever these difficult conditions come, when it's come on us, the safest route is that we take it, it's our gunas. When we see it on other people, especially the righteous and the pious, then we should take it. Allah wants to give them even a higher. Consequently, also we see that plenty of our mashayikh and our ulama, in the latter part, close to the end of their lives, they went into a condition like this. And then thereby Allah purified, scraped out all that any thought of your own, that I achieved this, I did this, I'm like this, Allah removed. And when that is removed, as the ulama have written, when the clothes of humility come on, when a person wears the clothes of humility, Allah raises him to dignity and honor. But when we, our clothes, not physical clothes, when our attitude is that of complete humbleness, completely turning to Allah Ta'ala, then man tawadha'a lillah, rafa'ahu Allah. A person who got this tawadhu, this humility, for lillah, rafa'ahu Allah. وَمَنْ تَكَبَّرَ And a person who makes takabbur, وَضَعَهُ اللَّهُ Allah drops that person. So Allah brings these conditions, and human weakness is for everyone. A person, knowledge is one of the main, knowledge of deen, of Quran and hadith, is one of the main sources of pride coming in a person also. And many a person with all his knowledge, pride comes into that person. And when Allah wants to, then even that, Allah scrapes it out from the crevices of the heart. and now that person becomes completely humble. Then Allah raises that person, and what Allah's raising is, you can never reach those heights where when Allah raises you. So Allah give us tawfiq. So in any way, we should not be so dismayed and feel so bad when difficult and hard, and we shouldn't call them bad conditions also. They are also from Allah, they are difficult conditions, they are hard conditions, but they are not bad conditions, they are good conditions. We can't see the goodness. Asa an tuhibbu shay'an wa huwa karhun lakum, wa asa an takrahu shay'an wa huwa khayrun lakum. Many times conditions which come, we don't like them, but they are good for us. And many times some things that we like, but they are bad for us. Allah knows. And that is again, yeah, also, a mu'min, he will accept it. It is from Allah. These conditions, and I accept. And I don't question Allah. I don't fight with Allah. I don't reject Allah, na'uzu billah. It's from Allah, I accept it. But a munafiq, he will say, why must I go through all this? Why must I go through these difficult conditions? So Allah save our iman, and with present day conditions also, and whatever the conditions of Muslims, generally what the Muslims are going through, we should not feel that these are bad conditions. Yes, they are difficult, they are hard conditions. And so for the ummah at large also, and over, like the famous saying, Har Karbala ke baad Islam zinda hota hai. After every Karbala, where Imam Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was martyred, but after that Allah brought Islam alive again. In Iraq, when the Tartars invaded Baghdad, and it was like no sign of Islam will be left after that. But Allah brought Islam to shine even more better than before. And many other occasions like that came in the history of Islam, where there was not only an onslaught on Islam, but like a total annihilation of Islam in the Muslims. But Islam, till today, the greatest people who follow any religion are the Muslims today. Up to now, the statistics of the world, they were showing Christians to be more, which was a lie also. It was Muslims. Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali in his time wrote, they are giving us the wrong statistics. Muslims are the majority. But they were covering, but now they cannot cover it up anymore also. And they have to admit the greatest adherents of any religion are Muslims. So even with all our weaknesses, still today also Allah has given Muslims that. And so the ummah, what is going through these difficult and hard conditions, but only Allah knows whether Qiyamah is close, or whether it's many times great buzurgs in the past also felt when the conditions presently, Qiyamah is here now. Imam Mahdi will emerge now. Dajjal is going to emerge now. But centuries have passed. And Islam is still, the only continent in the world which is a Muslim continent is Africa. In Africa, the most people are Muslims in Africa compared to other continents. So Islam, and of course they are making the efforts, and the enemy who is going to make the effort, they are trying everything in order to take us out of Islam, out of Iman. So our work is to remain firm. Our work is to remain steadfast, and we make more effort on ourselves, on others also. Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. With regard to our rozas, as we had explained, by keeping our faraz rozas, which Allah has made faraz, and the outward meaning of the ayat, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, rozas have been made faraz upon you, which the fuqaha deal with, and a roza, a fast, saum, will be that a person, al-imsak, he kept away from ta'am, sharab, eating, drinking, his sexual desires, from subah sadiq till sunset. Then his roza will be made. That is, the structure of the roza is made. But to get the complete roza, and every person, he wants everything to be perfect and complete. We don't want just the structure or just the base. We want the whole thing. Like a building also, the whole house is complete. But it's still not tiled, for example. The carpets are not in. It's not furnished. We say it's not complete still. And we will even refuse to go and occupy. It must be complete. So roza also, just the basic of it, which is staying away from food, drink, and our sexual desires, is not a complete roza still, when it is complete. Or like a businessman who buys for 5 rand and sells for 5 rand. Though he might be the busiest man in town for a few days, but he'll be the first man out of business also. Because if he doesn't make a profit and he can't pay his overheads, he can't pay his workers, he'll be insolvent, he'll be out of business. But when you make a profit, then you are eager to stay in business. Like today, commonly we will find business people say there is no more joy and pleasure in business. Nowadays, there is too much competition and the business places are overtraded. And the tax man is also very hard, so there isn't any enjoyment. But you find the same person saying this, the next you see he's opened another business. So if there isn't any enjoyment in the business, and what is that enjoyment? The profits he's making, the money. There are so many challenges. He'll say also the labor laws have become so hard now, so it's very hard to work with your workers also. And before it wasn't all this, you could just dismiss, fire any person as you wish to. Now you can't do all that. So, but yes, he'll be doing, because he's making a profit. So in the same way, in our deen, especially with all our ibadat, if we are making the profit of the ibadat, then though it will be difficult, we'll feel, but if we're making the profit, we will enjoy it. So it's very important that. And for this month, especially for us who have come here, and wherever we have gathered, and we are, or anyone else, anywhere, we want to make our islah in this month. So if we make our islah, and the islah is to correct ourselves, and on the correction, as soon as the heart is cleaned, then we don't have to invite Allah to come. Allah Himself comes into a clean heart. As long as the heart is dirty, we have a glass of water, ordinary water, tap water, which we say today is not even fit for drinking purposes. But that water also, as if it is that glass of water, which is ordinary water, we won't want to drink it if the glass is dirty. Though the water is clean inside, and the glass is not dirty inside, the glass is dirty outside. And not anyone else dirtied it, we dirtied it. For example, we were eating, our fingers are full of curry or whatever, and we hold the glass, now the glass has become dirty outside. And not dirty, it's food particles, clean food particles. But we ourselves also, from the same glass what I drank from. Today, unfortunately, we have come that what the wife drinks from, what the children drink also we don't want. Children, siblings, from one another's utensils they don't want to eat. This is all totally anti-Islamic. All this Western culture which has so overtaken us, whereas sharing utensils, there is shifa in there, eating from the same plate. Eating of the leftovers of one another. You are eating together, there is barakat in there. There is shifa in there. There is muhabbat in there. There is love in there. If husband and wife eat from one plate, there will be love between the two. And we can see clearly that we are eating today all in separate utensils. The result is that there is no love amongst family members also. Even amongst brothers and sisters, brothers with children with parents, parents with children, husband, wife, there isn't that love. And in the previous days, when they used to eat accordingly also sunnah, then they had lot of love. Today we try and have the imaginary love with all types of gifts. And in there also, we are going so un-Islamic. Today you want to give a gift to a person, it's simple, you're giving my gift. But today it has to be put in one package, in another package, in a gift wrap, in a gift packet. So many things, and many times all that is more expensive than the gift also. ether, utter today, the bottle is more expensive than the contents also. So much so that people even give today as a gift empty utter bottle. The bottle is so beautiful, that's the gift. Whereas what is the gift is the content. And whether you give it in a simple bottle or you give it in this so expensive bottle. But today we have gone completely topsy-turvy. Allah make it we can come back to Sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which was just a simple, clean heart, basics of life, straightforward matters. Not all. Today what our words also, even in our dini bayans, our words and our style of giving, we are more worried of all that. And that bayan also we enjoy also, which is more, which all, and so much so that it has gone, that with a little music at the back, then it is more enjoyable to us. Until that little music doesn't play, nasheed, qasida, burda sharif, what a lofty thing. But we only enjoy it with that little music in the background. Whether it is music with musical instruments or music without musical instruments. Other things which are used to make this effect of music. Then we enjoy it. We are gone in a total false world. In a full, total imaginary world. Even in this dunya, reality has to come. So anyway, this glass also, if it is just dirty outside, we don't want to drink from it. And so how will Allah come in a heart which is dirty from inside? When the heart is clean, automatically Allah comes into that heart. So we have to be worried of cleansing our heart. So this is the ideal month for it. Ramadan is meant for it, for the whole ummah. And Ramadan gives that effect. And for everyone, to whatever extent, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali writes that a person who is a habitual drinker and he drinks in public, but in Ramadan he will hide and drink. And there are those who will give up their drinking in Ramadan. A person who is a smoker, a chain smoker, and he knows he can't give up his habit, but Ramadan, even he'll smoke immediately after iftari, but the whole day he'll keep his roza. Or at least he won't smoke in public. He will hide and smoke. So the effect of Ramadan is for everyone. So it means just a little attention from our side, and we can gain the maximum benefits of the month of Ramadan. And the month is filled with all it, with all these great, great benefits, virtues, and mainly what it is, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that we acquire this taqwa. And by taqwa, we will have acquired everything from Allah Ta'ala. So one of the main things that we should try and focus on in this month, and with a little bit effort, which is a thing which almost across the board, we are faulty in this, we are guilty of this, is our eyes. Looking at haram. And looking at haram, there are different things of haram that we look at. Normally we take it that قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْبُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. But also لَا تَمُدَّنَّ عَيْنَيْكَ إِلَى مَا مَتَّعْنَا بِهِ. That is also Allah's command. Just to look at all the things which Allah, and today we cherish the Western way of life, the rich people's way of life, which is an anti-Islamic way. We are just looking at it and we are amazed with it. Whereas we should be totally overtaken with the way of the Sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. His simplicity. Today in our very modern homes also, in there also, which is a very pious home, we got one room for namaz, we got a wuzu khana. But what is a real sunnat home? That simple home. That is totally down to earth. That is what is to be cherished. Not with all this modern and extra things. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali is written in Fadaila Hajj. One Buzurg wanted to go for Hajj Umrah, Ziyarat. When he came to Medina Sharif, they told him it's Medina. When he looked around, he says, this looks to me like the city of Fir'aun, with all the buildings. That was in that Zamana. And in our Zamana, what Medina Sharif and Makkah Sharif, with all the huge, huge, tall, tall buildings and the rooms, which are all the beds are made to face, your legs will face the Kaaba. The toilets will face Kaaba. You won't find a toilet which is closer to the Sunnah, the flat toilet. You're eating, you'll go and eat in the restaurant. And there also you sit at the table, buffet style. You go around mixing with other women. Though you are pious, you don't speak to them, you don't look at them, but you bump into them. You come so close to them. And inadvertently you will speak to them also. Just pass me that, just do this. The way the whole thing has been said. And we are still, I made Hajj. And I made Umrah, and I made according to Sunnah. We completely wrong. Where we have to be, so to bring the correct deen. And this is the month that this is, the Allah gives it to us, that we can bring this whole proper Sunnah lifestyle. Let the people criticize. They will pass all types of remarks, that you belong to the 5th century, and you belong to the old camel age, and all that. And if somebody tells us, really, we should feel honored with that. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali quotes one beautiful poem always, that we people who are used to sitting on the grass mat, meaning the righteous and the pious, it is not our respect and honor that you make us sit on sofas, and you make us sit on couches. Our respect is, and our honor is, when we are sitting on the floor. Our respect and honor is not that we are sitting on couches and on high places. That is where the real believer, he finds his solace, and he finds his enjoyment. So this month is to bring that reality into our life. And across the board, the whole ummah, Allah has made it. And if we just, Allah has sent it already, so to say, to make us understand a dastarkhan, a tablecloth, a table full, laden with all the most delicious food. And the most delicious are all the sunnat, not our rich food again. But to make us understand whether it's our biryani or whether it's our roast, and all this food of ours is all, it all contains all our illnesses also. It all contains our toiling for dunya. In order to make a sunnat meal will be very simple and easy, and it won't cost all that money. Today, our women folk haven't got time for ibadah, because they have to be in the kitchen. They will make the excuse that the husbands want this. Husbands will say, women enjoy doing all this. They want to experiment all the savories, all the different types of savories, and all the different types of things. They want to, they have an opportunity now to do this also, and do this also. And our dasturkhan today, how it is put with everything laid out the way it is, it's called sunnat. We are sitting on the floor and eating. But in that, there are so many anti-sunnat things also. Whereas sunnat is a leather dasturkhan, and then one thali, that is that big huge plate, and all eating from that one plate. The place where, in my little experience, what I saw was only in the Madani house in Dioban, the family of Maulana Hussain Ahmed Madani Rahmatullah Ali. We didn't see Maulana, but his sons, Maulana Asad Sahab, Maulana Arshad Sahab, and alhamdulillah, we had the honor of being invited eating. But this is how the food was. One utensil and 10 people are eating. Today, one person needs 10 utensils. Your cup of tea is your plate, is your cup, is your teaspoon, your side plate, and then whatever is coming from there, you must put in here. Then again, you have a glass for your juice, and then all, if you count it, one person uses more than 10 utensils. And that is just for a simple meal. And when we go and eat, Allah protect us. But there's restaurants and that, when they come, they give you your first course, they take away that. Second course, take it away. All this. And our way of eating also, Maulana Abrar al-Haqsab rahmatullahi alayh, when he came the first time, and the food came, so he took how much he wanted to. Then a second meal, a second dish, and a third dish. Now where is the place? And your starters are only starters. And the main meal now comes towards the end. Now when you are finished full, now the main meal comes. So Maulana said, this is totally wrong. Put all the food down and let the person choose what he wants to. not one after the other. So in everything we have gone completely haywire. We Allah make rahm on us, and yet then we wonder also why these difficult conditions. In our deen today we have brought so much of dunya. In our sunnah we have brought so much of other people's things, and we still calling it sunnah. The actual sunnah, for example, today if we wear a hand watch, a person will be regarded as more deeny conscious, he wears it in the right hand. That we'll say is a pious person. In the Western way is you wear it in the left hand, their way. And before this was a time when no one, even ulama, didn't use a hand watch. They used the Zobo watch, which was kept in the pocket here. And if they wanted to check time, the Zobo watch, they would check it. And the time was before that when there was no Zobo watch also. And they didn't use the watch also. And they knew time and they knew punctuality of time. And from the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught us punctuality of time. But they had no watches. Where our Ustad, Hafiz Abdul Rahman, Mia Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, when on one occasion when we were still studying by Hazrat, his father, Haji Ibrahim Mia, from Simla came to visit his son, Hafiz Abdul Rahman. And he stayed for a period. And Hafiz Sahib used to get up for tahajjud, our Ustad, with the alarm clock. And his father used to object to him. How come you need the alarm clock? Tahajjud, you should be getting up on your own. Not that you need an alarm clock. But for us, it's natural, you use the alarm. And I'm a pious person, I get up 2 o'clock in the morning, I get up 3 o'clock in the morning, but I'm getting up with the alarm. And these were those people that without the alarm, which Sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala, where did we come that they put the alarm for this time or for that time? So Allah Ta'ala make it well. So anyway, across the board, one great guna that we have got is the guna of the eyes. One is that looking at haram, a woman, what we take it only in that context generally. Then don't even look at the other things of the other people, what Allah has given them. Even Muslim people, our Shaykh, Jazakumullah Khair, we all can benefit from this. Hazrat says that if you have to go and visit some wealthy and rich people, then, or like if we go in Jamaat and you make khususi mulaqat especially, and then you will go and visit the rich also. So when you go there, you went as a da'i, as an inviter, don't become the invited. And you become impressed with that. And for that, one great wazifa which Hazrat taught us, Ya Mughni. Whenever you have to come in contact with rich, wealthy people, even Muslim people, even righteous and pious people, you read Ya Mughni, their riches and their wealth won't impress you. It won't come in you. There was Haji Abdul Wahhab Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, in Ahmedabad, in India, not Haji Abdul Wahhab of Raiwin. He was Amir of the Jamaat and a very, very righteous and pious person, not an Ali. Whenever a Jamaat used to go to another state in India or into another country, when the Jamaat came back, they gave the karguzari and he used to invite himself to their home after that. And then when he went there, he used to go and see, have they brought perhaps a tea set from that country? Have they brought some souvenir from that country? You went there to give them da'wat, not that you become invited and they bring their things to you. So, and with regard to the rich people, one person was a simple, ordinary person. He went and visited some rich people. When he visited them, they offered him, will you have something to drink? So he said, no problem, will you have hot or cold? So he said, no problem, make it hot. So will you have tea, Milo, coffee, whole lot of things they counted. So he said, well, he chose one thing, tea, you'll have green tea, or you'll have chai Suleimani, or you'll have ordinary tea. He chose, you'll have it with milk, without milk, with milk, what milk, the Afrikaner goat, cow, or what, a whole lot of names. You'll have powder milk, you'll have this. Finally, when he said, he couldn't take it, he said, I think I'd rather leave from here. He says, no problem. You want to leave from the front door, the side door. You want to leave from the wooden door, from the steel door. And he says, I rather die is better. He says, no problem. If you are where you want to die, here, yeah, or you want to die by the swimming pool, or you want to die on the first floor, on the second floor. So he says, from that day, somehow I got away from there, and I caught my ears, I won't go there. So this, all this dunya things, how they just, and we are taken aback. Good, what we call pious people. We also impressed. Eh? We see these people, when the dunya's progress, we measure progress according to dunya. They hold the cities, and they are up to date with this. So whereas, what is progress? The more we come to sunnah, that is progress. Haji Baypadia rahmatullah alayhi, one time said that our moving front is not that we are moving front in dunya and we are leading people. Our moving front is we are at the back and we following Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How much we are following Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so much we are moving forward. And so much is the progress. That person has got value in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala, who is walking according to the sunnah. And one time, Maulana Yusuf of Pakistan, anyway, one great alim of Binnuri town, Ikhtilafi Ummat, Maulana Yusuf Ludhiani, gave a talk in Jami Masjid, and he read the ayat, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي, follow me. So I was sitting, so he asked me, Malsap, what's the meaning of فَاتَّبِعُونِي? I said, ittiba. So he said, you have made translation of Arabic by Arabic. He said, that is no translation. Like somebody making tafsir of Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, yani Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So what translation? He said, let me tell you, it is qadam ba qadam. Footstep on footstep. That is what is called ittiba. That you follow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his footsteps, in everything. Not the name of sunnah, but it is also designed. It was there so many. In the name to give hadaya is sunnah. But the way we are giving sunnah is far from the sunnah tariqah. It is all any other tariqah but the sunnah tariqah. We have our homes, and it's a Muslim home, and all the frames we have got. A Muslim home doesn't have all these frames, and you don't have to make the wall a Muslim. Ayatul Kursi on the wall. In our wuzu khanas, we got the duas written, and if we are making that wuzu khana Muslim, but am I Muslim to read it? If it is as a reminder, well and good. But if it is just decoration, they got other frames in their houses, we got this frames. Everything we want to copy them. Whatever they are doing, but we will do it the Islamic way. We know there is an Islamic way to do it. We don't have to do it the Western way. And that Islamic way is their way. We're still doing it in their way. We have to bring sunnah. Our wedding, sunnah wedding is what is. And we will print the card also, and we will write there also all the hadith also. But the card itself is not sunnah. But we are writing all the du'as on there also. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. So anyway, with our eyes, where we must train ourselves that we don't look at the haram, that is woman. And it's not only that, even the dunya. And it is also that وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحَا, to walk with pride in this world and to look down upon other people. We can be here in the masjid, and we are making namaz also, and we find the faults of other people. The musalli next to me, I'm finding fault with him, how he's making namaz. So we are. If your eyes fall, you see the fault, that is different. But fault finding. Eh? Today it is such that we are sitting and one person walks in the masjid, he starts his namaz, and then his whole history comes in us. He's acting like very pious, but I know all his history. What and what. So all that is also guna of the eyes also. And this is the month to correct all that. If we can keep the roza of the eyes and correct our eyes, And then see, then we will start making profit in our roza. Mm. Then we will enjoy roza. We won't be wishing the moon must be sighted on the 29th. We won't be wishing that Ramzan must get quickly finished. We will be enjoying. And then we will understand, not only by words or bayan or listening to a bayan, but physically, practically we'll understand that if my ummah knew what Ramadan was, they will wish the whole year must be Ramadan. When we will see the great benefits, what we can acquire and accrue in this month, we will really wish that the whole year must be Ramadan. When we were with i'tikaf with our Hazrat Shaykh, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, 29th Ramadan, somebody brought the news that it is the moon has been sighted. So he said, till it's not verified, for us it is still Ramadan. Complete the Taraweeh. We will still get the thawab of Ramadan. After that, again they told Hazrat, he said, make the witr. Out of Ramadan, we can't make it with Jamaat. Then after that, they verified. And that also, what an old man say he saw the moon. And in the masjid, there was, in India, usually they use a lot of fluorescent light. Lighted up brightly, but he was tripping over the beddings. You couldn't, so Hazrat say, you couldn't see the beddings here, you're seeing the moon there. Yeah, you can't see what, under this bright light, you can't see the bedding and you're tripping and you're falling. And an old man, which normally your eyesight also is not in order. So anyway, we will wish it will be Ramadan when we, so Allah give us tawfiq to appreciate, understand. And the proof of the pudding is in the eating. When we will practice it, just talking about it, hearing about it, thinking I've got it in my life is not, but the reality comes in our life, then the person will enjoy. May Allah give us all tawfiq. Subhanallah.